But before we move on to these subjects, we will indeed focus a little bit on the individuals, and Enki Böhm will now come up on stage and present to us some issues around adoption, how to get started, and also talk about some current political issues that lead us to the necessity to adopt decentralized anonymizing technologies.
Okay. I'm going to talk about PET strategy. And as I mentioned before, we have the problem that individuals right now don't use PET technology. And I think it is important for individuals to use privacy-enhancing technologies right now, because what's happening if we don't make use of our right to use privacy-enhancing technologies, this right will slowly but surely fade. So I think it's important that and this is the kind of attitude that cypherpunks have been preaching for a long time, that it's a kind of duty for citizens to take care of their own privacy and make use of it. But preaching it hasn't shown any success. So what I'm focusing on is, what's the reason to use privacy-enhancing technologies? What's the incentive? Why would you want to use privacy-enhancing technologies if it's quite a hassle to do web of trust management or get a private key if you want to send someone an email? A lot harder than just sending the email unencrypted. So the overview of my short session is, I will first give examples how simple technologies easily get attacked. This has been the case with anonymous remailers in the past. So an anonymizing remailer basically is a piece of software to which you can send an email and you can say, strip all the information that makes me personally identifiable, and then send on this email to another person. There was a very famous remailer in the past in around 1994, which was called anon.pnet.fi. And this remailer worked very well for some time until Scientology decided they do not like what one person is posting using this remailer. And so they started a lawsuit with some very weird arguments. But the point is, a court forced the operator of this anonymous remailer to reveal the identity or the real email address of one person using this remailer. And so the identity of one person was compromised. Another year later, Scientology did the same thing again and was successful again, and so this remailer had to be shut down. So the non-technical protection of just having the central server and trusting the administrator, even if the administrator is trustworthy, doesn't work out if lawsuits come in and so on. So we need privacy-enhancing technologies that really are based on technological security and are not easily compromisable. Other examples for privacy-enhancing technologies is hard drive encryption, which is about, I'm going to go forward one slide. The way PETs operate from a technical perspective is that they help you increase your privacy by securely storing information or by securely transferring information. And this can be achieved by means of encrypting information on the hard drive or in transit on a communication channel. Or it can be done by decoupling data from identity, so you can create a pseudonymous identity, which is what anon.pnet.fi did. It gave you a pseudonymous email address, which couldn't be linked to your real identity, unless you attacked the central server. And another approach is to reduce the amount of stored or transferred information, so less log files or cookie strippers, ad blockers, ad filters, cookie blockers, this kind of stuff. And for in-communication security, you can have GSM encryption for your cell phone. So basically, we know how to protect data, which technologies we can use, and mostly the technology is quite well enough developed, but it's still a hassle to use it. We still improve on the technology these days. So anon.pnet.fi is called the type 0 remailer these days, and we are at type 2 or type 3 remailers now? Type 3? Yeah. And anonymizing networks for doing any kind of communication have advanced quite a lot in the last years. Like the first paper on anonymizing transparent networks, like a kind of overlay network which you put on top of the existing internet, on top of TCP/IP, has been described in a paper by David Chaum in the 1980s. And so we have quite a long history with these networks, and only recently a free and working implementation, which still isn't quite scalable, has been released for those anonymous networks by Roger, who will talk about it later. And we had GPG email encryption for a long time already. It was called PGP before, and basically NSA was really afraid of giving encryption to the people. But what happened when encryption finally became widely available to end users? Well, almost nothing changed. People are still not using GPG for the daily email exchanges. And there's just one driving force right now which really makes people use encryption now. And I think this force is it's the Recording Industry Association of America, because they are suing people right now and they give them incentive to use those technologies. So people are now making small networks where they can exchange their files. They do the same thing they did before, but now they have an incentive to hide their transactions of files, from people who think it's wrongdoing. And most people seemingly don't think it's wrongdoing. I'm not going to make a statement if it's morally wrong or not to share files, but it's a fact that file sharing is one of the most driving factors right now for privacy-enhancing technologies in the Western world. And so I think it might be a good idea to use this opportunity where users are no longer apathetic and they have an incentive to use this technology, to combine those different approaches for making privacy-enhancing technologies attractive, to get it to people. So instead of providing privacy-enhancing technologies as a kind of an add-on to email, so you can use email without encryption, you can use HTTP without encryption, but hey, there's also HTTPS and there's also GPG, make it a central core of the technologies we develop right now. So if we develop a next generation peer-to-peer network for any kind of application, base it on secure principles, add anonymizing capability into it, add reputation capability, which needs cryptography. So integrate privacy-enhancing technologies into other products instead of leaving them as standalone applications. And the other points we've been doing for a while, educating users, increasing usability, are still important, but I think the most important thing really is to get it into new kind of applications. And there's the question also of should we hide that the applications are used? bring it in the by you hiding it in proxy technology, by hiding it in the background, or should we still use interactive applications where you can see what's happening, like a pop-up blocker or a cookie blocker, which shows you cookies are stripped, or email where you have to choose, do I want to send this encrypted or not? Because there's a problem if you hide that encryption is used, that your privacy is increased, and you just tell people, well, you are on a virtual private network, no, nothing is going to happen. You will have the problem that if the software is upgraded or it's server exchanged, people will still think they are secure, but they are no longer. So this is also a central question we have to ask right now. We can get it adopted by hiding it in other applications, but we still need to keep people aware, and we still need to educate them that their privacy is important, that what can happen with their data. And this leads on to the next talk, I think. Thank you.
Yeah, the user question, why do people and even security experts and hackers often don't use privacy-enhancing technologies, even though they know that it's so important? There are some explanations coming from economics and also from psychology. In economics, for example, we talk about the phenomenon of asymmetric information. So the marketer, those people collecting actually information, are much better informed about what they're doing with it. While people, consumer, mostly don't know, for example, when they have loyalty cards, what's happening at the back end. And even if they know, even if they knew, they can't judge on the probability that this data, this knowledge at the back end is being misused. And they underestimate the risk that builds up over time. It's just with smoking. It's a psychological phenomenon that people have bounded rationality and that they are not able to understand risks that are building up over time. Now, the record industry is actually an interesting example because for the first time, people are actually put in jail or they have to pay enormous fines, and they are feeling the risk. They are seeing the risk building up with every music file they are downloading. And the probability that somebody gets on their nerves is increasing, and they see it. And because they see it, they can suddenly understand why they need to protect themselves. And a very effective way to protect themselves is with the technology that Roger is now going to present.